It's time to get up and get your day started.
Morant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Hopefully the nasty weather is out of the area and will stay out of the area for a while. We welcome you in to Sports 56 Mornings on this Thursday, May 9th, 2024. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you, broadcasting live from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. Factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, patio furniture. It is definitely patio season. Wasn't a good time to grill last night, but it is patio season, pool season as well, as it's starting to really warm up. So the pools need to be open, and you can get all the things you need for that and much, much more at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. And the first hour of the program is brought to you by the Big Green Egg, speaking of grilling. Well, last night was pretty wicked. I could hear the hail hitting my house last night. Hopefully there wasn't any tornadic activity around the area. I haven't checked on outside the Memphis area. But tonight, or today rather, we should have nice weather. Abundant sunshine is what they're calling for. 86 degrees for a high, currently at 65. Then tonight, 61 degrees for a low, partly cloudy skies. Your Friday looks to be very nice with mostly sunshine and a high of 73. And the weekend looks to be dry, nice, and sunny. That is good with a high both Saturday and Sunday at 80 degrees. Coming up on the program today, we will talk NBA playoffs. One game last night. It was a very interesting one, to say the least. We have one team complaining, as usually is the case in the NBA, complaining about the officials. Jarae Elder will join us once again from the Memphis Showboats. They're fine defensive back and punt returner. The Showboats back in action on Saturday at Arlington, so they don't have to go anywhere. They are, of course, down in Arlington with all the rest of the teams. They need a win desperately. We'll talk to Jarae in our Showboat Spotlight at 7:30. At 8:25, we talk Major League Baseball with the one and only Kerry Miller from Bleacher Report. We're just about at the quarter pole for the 2024 Major League Baseball season. And then at 9:05, our buddy Sean Merriman, the former NFL standout, the founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting, he's got another big event coming up, but he's also dove into another endeavor called Lights Out Sports, a new free TV streaming service. We'll talk to him about all that. We'll also discuss the Tom Brady roast with him. I know that he has come out on social media, and he has been pro-Tom Brady roast. He loved it. We'll ask him why that is. Talk a little bit about the NFL draft that just occurred. That'll be at 9:05. We'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. That's your lineup for this Thursday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. How are you?
I am abundantly splendid.
Abundantly splendid.
Yeah, you said there was going to be abundant sunshine today. I like abundant. I like to be abundant.
Okay. I'm just reading off this forecast. That's what they're calling for, abundant sunshine. Although right now it's not incredibly or abundantly sunny. It's okay. It's getting there. Should be nice. But you know what? Forecasts have been wrong before. Did you hear, where you live, the hail last night?
I did not hear any hail. I don't know if we got any hail. I heard a little thunder, but I don't know if there was any hail or
not. Yeah, it woke me up.
I don't know if we had abundant hail.
I don't know if it was abundant. But I can hear tick, tick off the side of the house. Tick, tick, tick. Anyway, glad that weather is out of the area. Last night, the Knicks over the Pacers, 130-121, to grab a 2-0 series lead in their Eastern Conference semifinal. So I saw this morning, and I think most people know this. Jalen Brunson, who was drafted by the Dallas Mavericks in 2018, was the 33rd overall pick, despite him being a National Player of the Year and a champion at Villanova and all that good stuff. He was picked 33rd. The pick before Jalen Brunson. Do you know who had that pick?
I do not.
The Memphis Grizzlies had the 32nd pick overall in the 2018 draft, which was the second pick in the second round. Again, Brunson went third overall in the second round. The Memphis Grizzlies pick out of West Virginia, Javon Carter. Missed it by that much. Jalen Brunson did a Willis Reed last night. He injures his right foot, leaves the game in the first half, returns in the second half, goes on to score 29 points, making big plays as he has done throughout his tenure, his short tenure in New York. And the Knicks get the win and now up 2-0. Again, two wins at home does not determine a series. But Indiana's got to go back to the drawing board. They've struggled with their shooting. They've certainly struggled with allowing dribble drive penetration. And this is a Knicks team that has been banged up and also lost OG Anunoby in the second half with a left quad injury. Not to mention Bogdanovich is out. They're missing one of their stars in Julius Randle, yet they continue to do things in New York they haven't seen in a while. And that's why all the stars are coming out, because anytime you have New York or the Lakers, Los Angeles and New York, the biggest markets, doing their thing, it excites a lot of people.
Yeah, man, Brunson, it is, it seems like any big shot he takes, it's going in. Like, and if he gets to the elbow, like, you could just forget it. Like, the dude is going to score. It's either going to be a little step back, or he's going to continue to get to the rim somehow. He'll shoot the little floater. The dude is just on a roll. And, you know, they've got, you know, we'll see what Anunoby's situation is going forward. I mean, they don't have many guys. I mean, Precious Achiuwa steps in last night into the rotation. Like, they are, but you know, the Villanova three have been absolutely awesome. Last night, Anunoby really chipped in to help. And I don't know, man, they are, Brunson just seems to be willing them to win. Like, he just will not allow them to lose games. And the Pacers certainly had opportunities. The free throw shooting in the fourth quarter was a train wreck. And then they take some really bad shots, and it drives me crazy that they come out of that blaming the officials. Like, they had many, many opportunities to still win that game, and it wasn't the officials that screwed them.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second, what Rick Carlisle had to say. But 10 of 17 from the free throw line, that's some critical misses. That's 58.8%. They did hit 15 of 34 threes. Tyrese Halliburton, we criticized him after game one for not being as aggressive as he should. Well, he certainly was in this particular game, 11 of 19 from the field, 7 of 11 from three. He had 34 points. He had 9 assists. He added 6 rebounds. He had 3 steals. But Miles Turner in 31 minutes, 6 points, 7 rebounds. Pascal Siakam was held to 14 in 36 minutes. So the Knicks also quietly doing a great job defensively. But you talked about the heroics of Anunoby, who walked off with the left quad injury. He goes for 28. DiVincenzo has been absolutely terrific. He also had 28 points. He had 6 of 12 threes. The Knicks were 14 of 30 from three, which is 46.7%. They had 18 of 22 free throws. And then, as I mentioned, Brunson was fantastic. 29 points. He added 5 assists. Josh Hart played all 48 minutes again, 19 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists. They only needed 39 minutes from Hartenstein. He went for 14 points, 12 rebounds. You mentioned Achiuwa coming off the bench for 28 minutes. Precious, the former Tiger, 8 points and 5 rebounds. There's a lot of criticism about the minutes that these guys are playing. What, are you kidding me? I know they're shorthanded. I know they're banged up. Yeah, you want to see guys rested. But who else is going to play? Are they throwing in Shake Milton? I mean, are they throwing in Jeffries or Sims? No, this is it, man. You got to run with your horses. And the Knicks are doing a great job doing so. Because if they didn't play these guys the minutes, then there'd be criticism from the other side. Keep doing what you're doing, Tibbs. Continue to do what you're doing. The Knicks look like they're destined to make it to the Eastern Conference Final.
He's doing what he's pretty much got to do. I mean, they're basically trying to do this. They're essentially trying to do it with basically five guys, and they're using a couple of other guys just to spell them. Obviously, with Brunson sitting out the second quarter last night, that provided some extra minutes they had to have off the bench. Josh Hart is amazing. The dude just doesn't come out of a basketball game. The dude's playing 48 minutes a night.
What, is he in better shape than every other player? No, these guys are the best well-conditioned athletes in the world, along with some of the track stars. I mean, I'd put them up against anybody. Soccer, track, whatever. These basketball players are in great shape. Some of these other players can certainly go the distance if they had to. As you mentioned, when you use Achiuwa, you're using him to spell Hartenstein. You're using him to spell whoever. Had to play a little bit with the injuries, a little bit more with Ananobi's injury. But McBride has been pretty solid for the Knicks coming off the bench. And Alec Burks only played 1 minute coming off the bench. So seven guys in the rotation, despite Brunson getting hurt in the first half and then coming back, and then Ananobi getting hurt in the second half.
The Josh Hart in this playoffs. Last night, the second straight game he played all 48 minutes in this series. He's 2 for 2 in this series. He had two games in the last series, including an overtime game, where he played every minute. He's gone 48, going backwards, 48, 48, 46 and a half, 53, 45, 43, 48, 42.
Good for him, man.
Dude, just log in some minutes.
Good for him. And you know what? His arms didn't fall off. They need him.
I would think his legs would fall off before his arms.
Arms, well, shooting the ball, dunking the ball, blocking shots, rebounding the basketball. The way he rebounds the basketball, you think his arms would be tired. But, again, these are great athletes. So I think the criticism of Thibodeau, especially up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference semifinals, is not warranted. It's not warranted. Now, people want to criticize Rick Carlisle, go ahead. Rick Carlisle says that the officials have missed 78 calls in two games. Now, they did not send all that stuff in to the league office after game one. I'm assuming they have sent it or are in the midst of sending it after game number two. You are right. Stop the Knicks from scoring. Do a better job with your defense. Have better execution with your free throws, making plays down the stretch. That's all well and good. But Rick Carlisle says there have been 78 missed calls. Not 5, not 10, 78. I don't know. I NBA officials have a hard job. I've said it 5,000 times on this show. I still think collectively they stink. They just do. There is what it is. I mean, there's the makeup calls, the star calls, the anticipation calls, favoritism all around. There just is. I mean, they're not good. But I mean, I didn't sit there and count every one of these, what I thought were critical missed calls. But apparently they did at 78. And basically they're saying, Carlisle's saying, just give us a chance, man. Just give us a chance. We're small market. We're not this big glamour team like the Knicks. Just give us a chance. I can't buy it because that's the way it is always with NBA officials. I mean, if you listen to the complaints from the coaches and from the players every single night, you would also come to the conclusion that they must be the worst set of officials there is in sports, period. How much of it is BS? How much of it is the, you know, soccer mentality with basketball players complaining about every single thing? LeBron James has never committed a foul. I mean, there's that, certainly. But they're bad.
The blaming on officials is a tradition unlike any other. I mean,
it's like the Masters.
They've lost, and so they're going to blame the officials because he doesn't he can't come out and talk about how his team missed the first five free throws they attempted in the fourth quarter and went 2 for 7 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Apparently he doesn't want to ignore that. I give Tyrese Halliburton credit. He said, like, this is not officials. We have to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the officials' fault. Under 3 minutes to go in the game, down by 7, they come down, and Miles Turner takes a step-back 3 from 25 feet with 10 seconds on the shot clock. I don't believe the official forced him to do that. The next possession, Siakam takes a horrendous turnaround jump shot with two defenders on him with 10 to 12 seconds on the shot clock. Pretty sure the official did not make him do that. I mean, they're just down the stretch. New York's just making plays, and Indiana's not.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson is making every play. DiVincenzo has hit, it seems like seemingly, in the final 3 minutes of the game, DiVincenzo doesn't miss. You give him the ball, he's just making the shots. It comes down to making and missing. And if you can't make free throws, what do you want, the officials to call more fouls on the Knicks so you can miss more free throws? Is that what you want? Like, you're looking to miss a bunch more? It just drives me crazy when it's the easy thing. The referees are terrible. It's the more, we're small market and they don't want us to win. I'm telling you right now that the referees aren't having a discussion saying, we need the Knicks. The league wants the Knicks to win, so we got to call everything for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Do I understand, like, where Carlisle gets upset that they reversed that double dribble call, which was a terrible call to begin with, and it was correctly reversed, but when they didn't reverse the kick that wasn't a kick in the other game, yes, I can understand where that gets frustrating, but to say, like, the officials aren't giving them a fair chance, that is so ridiculous, and just so, like, it's just such a cop-out.
It's an excuse, and all coaches use it. Whether they're veteran coaches like Rick Carlisle or young coaches. Carlisle got ejected because he's clapping in the ref's face. He knows better than that. I don't know if he thought that was going to spur on his team, whatever the case is. I'm with you 100%. I mean, I still think they're the worst collective officiating crew there is in sports, but I know how hard a job it is. I just think if they peeled back the onion, they would see that they shouldn't do this for superstars. They shouldn't do this for other, you know, when they call fouls, when they don't call fouls. There's a lot of criticism for officials, but that's criticism across the board. That's not criticism that they're favoring one team, that they want the bigger market team to win. That's BS. That's absolute BS. So now Indiana's got to figure it out. Like you said, Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam taking bad shots early in the shot clock. You can't be doing that. You can't give the Knicks more opportunities because they're cashing in.
And from Rick Carlisle's perspective, I mean, I think he's going to have to go with TJ McConnell over Nembhard.
But he's been reluctant.
I know. He won't do it. And, you know, McConnell is the one having a little bit of success against Brunson mm-hmm. defensively, mm-hmm. and he's been awesome offensively. In these games. So I think down the stretch, he has to at least consider it. Like last night, I would have brought him back in for those final few minutes. You're going to have to do something. You're getting killed in these final minutes by Brunson, by the Knicks overall. Like I guess he's just going to keep doing the same thing and then blame the officials afterwards. But I think they got it. He has to start thinking, like, maybe we go McConnell and Halliburton together in this situation, to at least see if McConnell can have a little bit more success against Brunson defensively in these final minutes of the game. It's you know, they obviously, I mean, all they did is lose two road games. Like, they're going home.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I understand.
Series is not over.
I understand a coach trying to, you know, talk about officiating. You're going home. You're hoping to get kind of the benefit of the calls at home when you're putting this in their head. And it's, again, I get it. It's just, the Pacers need to address the things that are really hurting them, though, and that's the fact that they have nobody who can stop Brunson, and McConnell's having the best success, but you're choosing not to play him down the stretch, and the fact that you're taking some terrible shots, and you're missing free throws.
Tonight, Cleveland at Boston, game two. Boston up 1-0 in that series. Boston a 13.5-point favorite. If you recall, they were an 11.5-point favorite in game one. Dallas and Oklahoma City, game two in OKC. The Thunder, a 5.5-point favorite. I think that's exactly what they were in game one. in which they won, so they go in leading one game to none. The NBA MVP was announced yesterday. Nikola Jokic beats out Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka Doncic, and now is one of nine players to win three or more Most Valuable Player awards for the regular season.
Yeah, it was a little wider margin than I thought it might be, but he ends up winning it pretty easily with 79 of the first place votes. Pretty incredible stretch that he has put together here. I mean, three MVPs out of 4 years, a title in there. This is one incredible run that he is on.
As I said before, I would have had no problem with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander winning, but it's very interesting when you hear somebody like Shaquille O'Neal talk about that situation, and he says, in one breath, Jokic, my buddy, my pal, my fellow big man, you are the best player in the NBA, but the MVP should be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Okay? Jokic, you're calling the best player in the NBA. The best player in the NBA should be the most valuable player. You shouldn't vote on, well, SGA made that leap this year. SGA was great. Like I said, I would have no problem with him as the most valuable player. But Jokic is the best player on the planet. He just is. And he deserved it. Now, who knows what would have happened if Embiid stayed healthy the entire year, if Giannis stayed healthy the entire year. These are guys that certainly would have been right in the mix. They've won it, all those guys. I mean, Doncic had a great year. He finished third. Brunson ended up, what, fifth or sixth in the voting? I think Giannis may have finished fourth. I don't have that list in front of me. The point,
Giannis was fourth. I don't remember what the order was.
The point is, Jokic, don't take away from what Jokic did. I understand, though, you trying to put SGA up there on that high level, and he should be. He should be. Would have had no problem. But I still think Jokic was the most valuable player, and I guess enough people thought he was as well, as he wins it for the third time. SGA continuing to do this type of stuff in the future is going to be right there to win some MVP awards. You know, you figure Anthony Edwards, certainly, and several others, and guys we haven't even seen yet in the league that will probably be up there. We know that Victor Wembanyama will be a guy that will probably be there for future MVP. So something to discuss, certainly, and that's what they did last night with Shaq and with Charles Barkley. But I think Jokic was deserving. Folks, is your family road trip ready for the summer? All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch is ready to help you out with your Silverado, your Tahoe, or your Suburban. Get up to 30 miles per gallon. Wow. With your new All-Star Chevy Equinox or Trailblazer. That's great miles for your buck there with the big cars, with the big SUVs. 30 miles per gallon. Wow. Financing down to 1.9%. No payments for a full 90 days, folks. All-Star Chevy has a great deal on a new 24 Blazer EV. Get charged up for this 36-month lease on this Blazer EV at just $369 a month. Only $2,500 down and the usual tax title and license. For details, you can ask any of their sales consultants. I'm looking at a ton of Silverados in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet. Discounts up to $10,500 and 1.9% financing. And once again, college students, graduates, military personnel, teachers, healthcare workers get an extra $500 bonus when you purchase a vehicle from All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. You want pre-owned? Everything you want is here. All the Jeeps, the trucks, even a beautiful Corvette. As we celebrate Memorial Day and our friends at All-Star Chevy, they asked me to remind everyone to remember all who have made the ultimate sacrifice serving our country. Together, let's drive the All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch today or go to allstarautogroup.com. When we come back, it's our Showboat Showcase. We'll talk with defensive back and punt returner Jarray Elder. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
We did get a text yesterday about the Patrick Beverley situation when the Bucks were alive in the playoffs and he threw the ball into the stands at a fan and then threw it again. Well, yesterday, a story came out that the authorities, the cops, are investigating that incident. We wondered where it was, where it stood, or a texter did. That's where it stands.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley said that he said it was called something he'd never been called before. And he took responsibility for it, but he said, so they're looking into the incident.
Well, as we mentioned, the Showboat's back in action this weekend, and they have to win. They are not going anywhere. They're staying in Arlington, where all the teams are. They'll take on the defending champions from the XFL, and that's the Arlington Renegades. Is that their nickname? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we are very pleased to be joined for the second time this season by Jarray Elder, Showboat's defensive back and punt returner. You can follow him on Twitter at JarrayElder21. Jarray, how are you? Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. How are you guys doing today?
Doing okay. So we talked to you right before the start of the season. It's obvious that the season has not gone the way you guys had hoped for. You're in kind of a desperate situation right now. What do you think it has been? I know it's a tough schedule. You've played some of the tougher teams in this new condensed league. But what is it you think, Jarray, that has put you guys in the situation you're in?
You got to give credit to the teams that we've played. We've played a lot of great teams. I think all the staffs around the league have done a really good job putting together great teams. But it comes down to we just haven't really finished games. There's been times we start fast. We might have scored first or got off the field on defense right away and made plays on special teams. We have yet to put together a full three-phase football game, and that's the offense, defense, and special teams. So that's really just on us, and it's something that coach has been harping on us to just get it done and play together, play for one another, and put together a full game for full four quarters. And then we'd be able to see the results we want. And until we put together a full game, it's hard to win a game, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Before the season, we had talked about, you know, with this league, the condensed league of the two down to one, obviously the talent level goes up across the board as you eliminate basically half the players who were playing spring football. Now six games into it, has the league been what you expected it would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall the starters, I wouldn't necessarily say you see a difference in the starting talent level. You might see a couple more big names than we had the past couple of years, but the talent level and the starters, I feel like, has been pretty much the same. The biggest difference you see now is there's no drop-off. So from the starters to the second group to even the third group, everybody was a starter. Most people were starters at one point and were impact players on their previous teams, whether it's USFL or XFL. So you're not really seeing a drop-off, and you're seeing a lot of gameplay experience. Everybody on the field has been playing in games the past two seasons now, three, this being the third season. So it's a lot of experience on the field, and you get to see the development of the league. I feel like that's one of the biggest things that this league is here for. You're getting out of the sea people who develop and change from their first year in USFL to now the third year in the spring football. And it's cool to see, but I feel like the talent level, like I said, it's still pretty much about the same in my opinion, but it's just, there's no drop off at all.
Mentally, where's this team at right now, sitting at 1-5 with this four games remaining in the regular season? You basically got to win them all. Where's the mindset for the team?
Yeah, obviously losing is not an easy thing. No one plays the game because they want to lose. All of us are winners in our locker room. We want to win. We need to figure out how to get back on track. I feel like mentally there's really no – I'm not going to say there's a difference because everybody's just, I feel like we're even more hungrier now because you want to get back on them, want to get back in that winning column. We're just focused on winning, taking it one day at a time, winning a rep, winning a set, and then winning it going into the weekend. We've got to win the practice weekend, and we got to win the game once we step on the field Saturday or sometimes Sunday. So the mindset, we're still positive. We're still coming into work. At the end of the day, we're blessed to be in the shoes that we are in. A lot of people want to be playing professional football and be where we're at. But also, that being said, we need to win football games. Because if we don't win football games, your job can be gone as quick as you got it. So that's still something we need to get done for the city of Memphis, for each other, and just for this team. It'd be nice to get back to winning.
Showboat safety Dre Elder joining us. You are one of the captains of the team. So, as a leader, like, how do you kind of navigate this and kind of, you know, try and do your best to keep morale up? What's kind of how? What do you say to the other guys?
Yeah, when we break it down in practice and we're talking amongst ourselves in the locker room, I feel like we do have a tight knit group here and everybody is close. So, just I got something that I spoke on earlier is playing for each other. Like, when we're going out there to win, no matter what, we're winning for each other. You're playing for the man next to you, beside you, behind you, in front of you. You want to just get it done and get the job won for the people next to you and continue to put on for your family. All of us have different reasons of why we still stay around the game, and while some of us are, we have people on our team that are 8-9 year pros, vets, and we have some people that are first year. So just remembering why you came to camp in the first place, and remember how it felt when you're at home, not knowing you get a chance to do what you love again. And at the end of the day, we all love it, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be here still doing it. So remember your why. Remember why you do it, and come in and go to work. But at the end of the day, it is your job, and we need to provide for ourselves and our family. So got to keep going.
That's a great point. Dre Elder joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. So as a defensive back, I wanted to ask you this, because I know that at least here – with the University of Memphis, I know that they recruited a lot of defensive backs who are interchangeable at safety and cornerback. And obviously they are two different positions. For our listeners out there, can you talk about players and about yourself? You know, how hard is it, or is it something that should come easy to be able to change up from being a safety to a cornerback and the responsibilities of both?
Yeah, being able to be multifaceted and play all over the field, it's huge. It makes it, for a high school kid getting recruited, it makes you a lot more recruitable. So you want to see guys, I coached college football for a season, so when it came to recruiting, you want to see guys that are playing on both sides of the field, that are playing most positions on the back, on both sides. So if you're able to play running back and receiver, and you have to play corner, safety, linebacker, whatever it is, you want to see that, and as well as other sports. To talk about corner, I mean, corner is, In a game that just changed and becoming so fast-paced, you want to have one of your best athletes at corners, because, in my opinion, corner is the second hardest position to play behind quarterback. So you want to have some of your best athletes there that can run every single route that a receiver can run and go foot-to-foot with them. Safety, you want somebody that can come down in the box, be physical, but also rangy and fast as well to go sideline to sideline and make those plays out of the post and out of the deep half. You also want your safety to be some of the smartest people on the field, because like a quarterback is on offense, he gets to see everything, and it's the same way on defense. The safety is able to see everything, see all 21 other players in front of him, and be able to make checks and switch different things. So, like me being recruited out of high school, I thought I wanted to be a receiver. That's all I really wanted to do. But I played receiver and corner and a little bit of safety in high school, but mostly receiver just in corner. When I got to school, my D-back coach, Gerald Tony, decided to pull me over and move me to safety. He saw the ball skills that I had, and he felt like I would benefit the team more at safety. And he obviously knew a lot more than I did, because I'm like, safety, I don't what are we doing this? I'm a receiver, I'm a quarter, that's all I got for you. But it ended up working out for me. So for the young guys out there, just be versatile. The more positions you can play, the better off it is for you. And obviously, I have bias. I would like to see more people convert over to safety, and you get more involved in the game. You can be a corner and lock your guy down the whole game and not get no target. Yeah. Safety, you're able to go, be rangy, and make plays for yourself. So I think it's great. Either position, I think it's great. But yeah.
Do you want to, when your playing days are done, do you want to get into coaching?
It's tough. I coached for that one season. At Alvernia University in Redding, Pennsylvania. It's something that I think I do want to do, but it may look a little bit different. I don't know if I'll be coaching at a university or coaching at a high school, whatever it may be. I think, because I have a youth camp company now called JE Legacy Sports Academy, so I kind of want to get more hands-on with one-on-one trainings and then maybe start some other things from that and kind of work up with the kids starting at a young age and starting to build good habits from a young age, and then transition these kids into high school and transition them into college and kind of help them with the recruiting process and stuff. So coaching, yes, but it may look a little bit different for me compared to what the traditional coaching role may look like, getting done playing professional football and going to coaching. It may look a little bit different for me to start, but I got a lot of football knowledge and I love being around the game, so I'll find a way to be around it probably the rest of my life.
that's really cool. Obviously helping out the kids and doing that stuff, that's awesome. All right, so yesterday on social media, the Showboats, their social media page, they posted a thing asking the players for your guilty pleasure song. You went Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA, huh?
Yeah, and you know, my mom had actually messaged me and was like, really, Miley Cyrus? And I was like, you know what? They put me on the spot, and I didn't know this video was coming up. I thought it was just a little joke thing they were recording. It never really got posted because stuff happens like that sometimes. And I don't know, I probably could have picked a better song, but... That was the first song to come to mind, so it must be true. And it was funny. That video was definitely funny, but I could have gone with a Keisha Cole or a Beyonce song. Maybe Irreplaceable would have been better, but it worked out.
Well, so then Vinny Papale also had a Miley Cyrus song. So what is up with you returners? You guys are both return guys, and are you like jamming to Miley in that return room?
I can't give away all the secrets. But I mean, me and Vinny both Northeast guys. So
yes, you are.
That might have something to do with it.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have picked like the Macarena or something like that. So not too bad, Miley Cyrus.
I thought for a safety he might go Wrecking Ball because you're hard hitting. Like you could have gone that way too with Miley.
That's true. Yeah. All right, Jure. So this weekend, got to get a win. Going down to Arlington. Actually, already there, so you don't have to worry about any travel concerns. You'll take on the Renegades. That game is scheduled for Saturday at noon Central. Jure Elder, Showboats safety and punt returner. You can follow him on Twitter at Jure Elder 21. Thank you so much once again for joining us, Jure. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. What were some of the other songs that the guys picked?
Some of them I didn't know the songs.
So Guilty Pleasure would have to be something. Oh, wow. Guilty Pleasure would have to be something where it's kind of embarrassing to most people, but you love it, because if you just pick like a great song from a great artist, I don't see how that would be a guilty pleasure. Like you picked the Beyonce songs, so what?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the other ones were. Those two is just funny because both of those guys picked Miley. And Jure was the first one in the video, so it's funny that I just wasn't expecting Miley Cyrus' Party in the USA as the song that he would have come with. And so it just was like, it was hilarious that was the one.
That's a perfect guilty pleasure song.
But it's the thing, like he said, like, if when they just put you on the spot, if that's what comes out, it's probably true. Like that's exactly. If that's the first one that comes to your mind, that probably is your guilty pleasure song.
Zach, what's your guilty pleasure song?
Ooh, it has to be a Paramore. I forgot what the song from Paramore.
You don't know the song?
I don't know the song, but I know it when I hear it.
What about you?
I don't guilty pleasure song. That was somebody had Tennessee Whiskey as theirs on there, which I was like, dude, that's just a great song. I don't know. Doesn't have to be a guilty pleasure song. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a guilty pleasure song that I have.
Yeah. I mean, again, what constitutes the guilty pleasure? I think if people are going to laugh at you.
Yeah. It's one I think that you're like, you're not going to jam it with your friends.
Right.
But right. You love listening to it, but you like, you'd be a little embarrassed. Like if you're in the car and like with your friends and that song comes on and you're like I love this song.
I'd have to think about mine.
Because people do, like there are people. Islands in the Stream, Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton.
Would that be it for you?
That's one of my favorite, like that is a guilty pleasure song for me.
I'll jam
to that. I'll be singing along with it. And like, I don't want people to. Like, one year at Barbecue Fest, I was playing the music in the tent, and I turned on Islands in the Stream, and people were like, what the hell is this? And I was like, wait, it's Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. Leave me alone. Like, these are two legends in the game. But, yeah, that's probably my guilty pleasure song.
I have two. So, it wasn't Paramore. It's Evanescence. It's Bring Me Back to Life.
Aren't they from Little Rock? Is that the group from Little Rock?
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. I can never say that name. Everessence? Is that what it is?
Evanescence.
Really?
Evanescence. It's like Evan.
I don't think that's right, is it? Okay.
Like, and my other one is Chicken Fried from the Zac Brown.
Now, that's a guilty pleasure song.
Dude, that's just a great song.
Oh, I got you on. That's a guilty pleasure song.
Oh, well, that's a guilty pleasure song for you because they're talking about chicken and you don't eat it.
Yeah, I don't.
That is the ultimate guilty pleasure.
It's the one song I can like sing with my chest out and just be like, yeah, like I can sing.
You're
can
like,
sing.
I like my chicken fried. Okay. No, you don't like your chicken in any way. That's I like my chicken to be plant-based. That's how you got to say it. I like my chicken plant-based.
Yeah, you're right. Evanescence, Amy Lee, the great singer, the female, the lead. Where are they? They are. They're from Little Rock, Arkansas. How about that?
Didn't know that.
I don't know. I can't even think of a guilty. I'm looking at my phone list.
Texter says minus Afternoon Delight.
Oh,
that's a great one.
That's a great one. It's not on my phone. It's not on my list, but that's a great one.
Somebody says Shaving Cream by Benny Bell. I don't know.
I don't know Shaving Cream.
I've never heard of Benny Bell or Shaving Cream. I've heard of Shaving Cream, but not the song.
Probably one that nobody's ever heard of as a guilty pleasure of mine is Ariel. It goes back to the early 70s. Ariel by a guy named Dean Friedman. Maybe some people have heard of that song.
Isn't Ariel the name of the girl in Frozen? Is that the name?
It might be. Yeah, it might be. I do have a couple of like Broadway show theme songs and stuff.
Well, of course you do.
I guess
Mr. C's a ticket holder.
Yes, they may fall into that category, but does Firework from Katy Perry fall into that? Firework from Katy Perry.
That would qualify. Look at you going. You got Katy Perry songs on your phone?
I think I have the most eclectic.
Do you have any Miley? You have Miley.
I don't have Miley.
Tell me you have a Miley song.
I don't have Miley.
Tell me you got Wrecking Ball on there.
I don't have Miley. She's not on here. She is not on here.
I feel like you got Miley in you. You've neglected. You forgot about Miley. That's why she's not on here. If you got Katy Perry, you should have Miley. Miley's better than Katy Perry, in my opinion.
She may be, but I don't have. What is it again? What's the category? The guilty.
Guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure. Space Age Love Song by A Flock of Seagulls. That could be my guilty pleasure song.
Who?
It was a big hit in the 80s. New wave stuff. Before you were born. A Flock of Seagulls.
I figured you should look them up
and look at the lead singer's hairdo, and I want you to be wearing that the next time we see it, which would be tomorrow.
That's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, right? I know. Somehow you can figure that out. Okay.
Mother's Day coming up this weekend. Genesis Diamonds is ready. That's the place to go to get mom something special for this Mother's Day or any Mother's Day. Or maybe it's not Mother's Day that you're shopping for. Maybe it's a graduation. Maybe it's another special occasion. Whatever it is, Genesis Diamonds is there with an unbelievable selection of great jewelry with great prices and great people to help you pick out that special piece that mom's going to love, anybody's going to love, and they're going to wear it all the time. And certainly you're going to remember, they're going to remember that you got it, and you're going to remember where you got it from. And that is Genesis Diamonds. People are blown away every day when they go over to Genesis Diamonds to check out that amazing selection. If you're thinking about getting engaged, well, hey, for when it comes to engagement rings, you're not going to find a better selection. All the unbelievable designer rings that they've got, the selection of diamonds, everything is absolutely out of this world. And again, the pricing is amazing as well. They take out the middleman direct importer pricing that you get over at Genesis Diamonds. So if you're shopping for that special occasion like Mother's Day, go find something special for her at Genesis Diamonds, Poplar and Perkins Extended.
Phil Stukenborg just texted me and said, Justin Bieber, Holy Holy. Is that a remake of the Neil Diamond song? Justin Bieber, Phil Stukenborg
listening to Justin Bieber, just like I am. Picturing Phil
jamming the Justin
windows
Bieber
down, just belting out some Justin Bieber is just like, it's an image that I love. I'd love to pull up next to Phil at a stoplight and see him over there rocking out to some Justin Bieber.
I don't think we can top that one. I think game over. We have a winner. Phil Stukenborg and Justin Bieber. All right, when we come back, the Charlotte Hornets have a new head coach. We'll tell you who that is. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. You know that I can use somebody.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, this one just for Phil Stukenborg out there driving around in his Corvette, windows down, blasting this song. And no, I can't stand it being fake.
No, I don't believe it. I'm picturing Phil dancing right now.
There's another side of Stukes.
Just got the head bobbing in the car as he's going.
Oh, my gosh. All righty. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Another one of mine that would be, I guess I would consider it a guilty pleasure song is Africa by Toto.
I wouldn't put that as a guilty pleasure.
I can start belting that song in the car.
It was on as I drove to work this morning.
Oh, see, that's one of those, like, when it comes on, obviously by myself, I'm going to sing along with it.
Weezer did the remake. It was great. The remake was great. Toto's original was great. I don't know. That's a hit song. I wouldn't put that as a guilty pleasure. I wouldn't anyway.
Have you heard of Sarah Bareilles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Love Song that she wrote.
Yeah, again, I don't know if I put that as a guilty pleasure. It's got to be some like offbeat type thing. The reason we say with Phil, because again, Phil and Justin Bieber, it just doesn't. I mean, if Phil said like Liberace, I would have went, you know, okay, that makes more sense. My gosh. Charles Lee's the new coach of the Charlotte Hornets. The Boston Celtics lead assistant has agreed on a 4-year deal, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. He reunites with Hornets EVP of basketball operations, Jeff Peterson. He will finish the Celtics playoff run, hopefully pick himself up a ring, and then he will be heading on to Charlotte, where his job will be a lot tougher.
Where he will pick up zero rings.
Zero rings. And but maybe a couple of ulcers.
But maybe he can at least make them competitive, because it's been a little while for the old Hornets.
We were talking about the complaints of Rick Carlisle for Indiana. He complained after game one, but he did not send in the list of calls that he felt were wrong to the league office. He did so, though, for game two after last night. According to Brian Windhorst, 49 calls from last night that he felt were incorrect sent to the NBA office. Well, now it says they did send in the 29 from game one. No. Oh, what they did was they had withheld. They never sent in game one, and now they decided to send in game one along with game two, which comes to the total of 78, if you missed it. The Pacers, Rick Carlisle and company say that the officials missed 78 calls in the two games so far in that playoff series. 78. Again, even if it's a fraction that they missed, that's a lot of missed calls. Could you imagine, though, they come back and the league responds and they say, yeah, we looked at all 78. We were right on all 78. Our officials made all the calls correctly. So how can you have like two different entities looking at things that differently? It's not going to be that way. There's going to be a lot of calls that they missed. Now, whether or not, you know, the league says anything other than the last 2-minute report, which as you talked about yesterday, it's a little bit of transparency, but it's not a lot of transparency because it's not a report on the entire game and how many calls they missed. Why don't they do that? Because they know there's going to be a ton of missed calls by their officials.
Well, they'll be dumb. Again, if you're not correct, it's what's the purpose of saying that these missed these calls when you're not
exactly.
There's nothing happening like exactly. Publicly about it. All you're doing again. And I would love to see Rick Carlisle referee an NBA game and then let people review the film and see how many calls he missed in that game.
Yeah.
And anybody else who wants to criticize officials, put the whistle on for one game and then let us go back and watch the film and see how many calls you missed.
I like, by the way, Jokic's reaction to winning his third MVP award. There was no emotion. He said, to be honest, I liked last year when I didn't win it and we won a championship. I like that much better. Well, maybe they can win the championship and still win the MVP, which was announced yesterday. However, to do so, they're going to have to rally from down 2-0 in that series against Minnesota, with game three being tomorrow night in Minnesota.
Got some text that we'll get to coming up to kick off our next hour. This hour of our program is brought to you by Big Green Egg. Boy, the weather now, it looks like it's taking a turn. And we are going to have some beautiful weather here over the next few days, it looks like. A little bit cooler even. Great time to get out, fire up that grill. And if you're doing that, you should be firing up a Big Green Egg. It's the best grill there is, without question. Absolutely unbelievable, the versatility and everything else that comes with the Big Green Egg. They'll be here in town out at the Memphis and May Barbecue Contest next week, where you could go try free samples. You could see the Big Green Egg in action. Talk to the folks from Big Green Egg. Get any questions answered about the Big Green Egg, all the egg accessories, everything else. They'll have their sauces and rubs that they'll be using as well that you can check out there at Memphis in May. Go check them out there, or you can find the Big Green Egg here in town at the Ace Hardware locations. You can find them at Hamilton Fireplace. They're distributors of the Big Green Egg. And you can also go to biggreenegg.com for all the information on the Big Green Egg.
All right, as Eli mentioned, your text calls as well when we return for hour two. Also, what a college football, sitting college football coach says about the future of college football, and NFL versus NBA players playing each other's sports. That's been a topic of discussion over the last day or so. We will discuss that as well. Kerry Miller at 8:25 on Major League Baseball. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.